Chapter 2. Although a strong storm lasted the whole night, nothing of particular interest happened. However, when the family came down for breakfast the next day, they found that the bloodstain had reappeared.
"I don't think that the Paragon detergent is at fault," said Washington. "It removes all stains. It must be the ghost."
He removed the stain again, and the stain reappeared the next morning. He removed it again. This time Mr. Otis closed and locked the library before going to bed. When the family came down the following morning, the spot had reappeared again. Instead of being scared by this strange occurrence, the Otis family was intrigued and amused. Later that evening, however, the existence of the ghost would be proved without a doubt. The day had been warm and sunny. When the temperature cooled in the early evening, the family decided to go out for a drive in their carriage. They returned home at 9 o'clock and had a light supper. The subject of ghosts was not mentioned during dinner. The family retired to their bedrooms at 11 o'clock, and all the lights were off by 11:30. Later that night, Mr. Otis was awakened by a curious noise that came from the corridor outside his room. It sounded like metal clanking, and seemed to be getting closer to his door. He got up, lit a candle, and looked at the time. It was exactly 1 o'clock. He felt calm, and his pulse seemed normal. The strange noise continued, and he could hear footsteps with it. He picked up a small bottle from his night table and opened the door. There was an old man with a terrible appearance standing in front of him. His eyes were red, and he had long grey hair. His clothes were from another century and were dirty and old. There were heavy manacles with chains on his ankles and wrists.
"My dear sir," said Mr. Otis, "I must insist that you put some oil on your chains. Then they won't make so much noise, and I'll be able to sleep peacefully. Here's a bottle of Tammany Rising Sun Lubricator. It is an excellent product. I shall leave it here by my door, and will be happy to obtain more if you need it."
The American minister put the bottle on a marble table in the corridor and closed the door of the bedroom. The Canterville ghost stood still for a moment in a state of extreme indignation. Then he picked up the bottle and threw it violently against the floor, breaking it. He turned and ran down the corridor, groaning and emitting a green light. When he reached the top of the great staircase, a door suddenly opened. Two small figures appeared, and a large pillow almost hit him on the head. He decided to escape by disappearing, and the house became silent again. He reappeared in a small secret chamber in the left wing of the mansion. It took a few minutes for him to recover from the shock. He needed to evaluate his position. This was the first time in a brilliant 300-year career that he had been insulted in such a rude manner. He began to remember some of his best performances and their victims. He thought of the four housemaids who became hysterical when he smiled at them through the curtains of one of the guest bedrooms. He also remembered the butler who had accidentally shot himself in the foot when he saw a green hand tapping on the window. Ah, there was also old Madame de Tremouillac. She woke up early one morning and saw a skeleton seated by the fire, reading her diary. She spent the next 6 weeks in bed with a fever of the brain. These were just three examples of the hundreds of people whom he had terrorized during his brilliant career. And now, some hateful modern Americans offered him Rising Sun Lubricator for his chains and threw pillows at his head. No ghosts in history had ever been treated in this manner. He remained until morning, thinking of how to plan his revenge.